shall pour oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meal offering. Now, chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 4. These are the set feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which he shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Now, look down at verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, a little farther along, look at verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall there be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Verse 17, the last part. For first fruits unto the Lord. Now, I've read you from the Old Testament. Where would I read about this in the New Testament? There are 8 references to first fruits in the New Testament, and we will look at some of them. Let's look, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll tie all this together for you, God willing, as we go along. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 20. But now, hath Christ been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of them that are asleep? Verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and so forth, and so on. All right. This portion tells us that the first fruit is Christ. But let's look at Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. Look at verse 15. Speaking of Israel, it says, for if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? And if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. Now, turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And look at verse 5. And salute the church that is in their house. Salute Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first fruit of Asia unto Christ. And James, we have to read this. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And the last reference, in Revelation chapter 14. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, look over at verse 4, the last part of it. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. All right. What you have is something similar to what we had concerning the sacrifices I told you about last week. I told you that you had the burnt offering, but with that sacrifice, the burnt offering, you had the meal offering and the drink offering. Now, the important thing to observe is this, that Christ is depicted by the drink offering, but not only Christ, but also the followers of Christ. That's most important. You're liable to look at an Old Testament type and say, that's just a picture of Christ. And you'll be partly right. But you have to look very carefully at the type, because at times it pictures Christ, but at other times it not only pictures Christ, but it also pictures the people of God. And that is why I took time to read all these scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and yet I left out many. But think for a moment, and I will break down and analyze these Old and New Testament scriptures and show you which is which. Now, in Leviticus chapter 2, having told you this last week, any time an offering is burnt upon the altar, the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offering, that depicts Christ. Anything that's burnt on the altar of burnt offering depicts Christ. In chapter 2, we had two things. We had the meal offering, and then we had grain in the ear, but both of them were offered on the altar. And so that is Christ. But in Leviticus chapter 23, we had the first fruit in the first part of the chapter, and we had the first fruit in the latter part of the chapter. And the first part of the chapter, we had the offering on the altar. But in the latter part of the chapter, we only had the offering lifted and waved before God. The first fruit in the first part of Leviticus chapter 23 is Christ. And the first fruit in the latter part of Leviticus chapter 23 is His church, the people of God. So we have it again. Not only the burnt offering and the drink offering, but now we have the offerings that you find in the feast of the Lord in Leviticus chapter 23. So keep this in mind now. We have Christ as the first fruit? Yes. We have His people as the first fruit? Yes. Well then, which scriptures that I read to you in the New Testament correspond to the scriptures I read to you in the Old Testament? Well, if Leviticus chapter 2 is Christ, and the first part of Leviticus chapter 23 is Christ, then the scripture I read to you in 1 Corinthians 15 is pictured in Leviticus 2 and Leviticus 23, the first part. Listen, now is Christ risen, the first fruit of them that sleep. Here are dead ones, but Christ is the first fruit from among dead ones. But I read to you also that we have people that are first fruits. We have that, I'll give you the two references. You'll find one of them in Romans 16, and you find the other that corresponds to that in 1 Corinthians 16, and it speaks of two individuals. It speaks of Epaphras, the first fruit, and it speaks of Stephanas and his house, the first fruits. You see, they're people. You say, but you said the first fruits were Christ. Yes. But Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. People that have died, have been buried, and Christ is the first fruit of the dead. But these are first fruits among sinners saved by the grace of God. And in James, the difference is this. Now notice, you have people that are first fruits, but in Romans 16, you have one, Epaminondas, who is the first fruit, and in 1 Corinthians 16, the household of Stephanas, first fruit. Epaminondas, one who is the first fruit. Stephanas and his household, a group that are the first fruits. But then you come to the church in James chapter 1, and it says that God begat us by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now you have it. You have Christ, and you have his followers. But the scriptures I left out are the ones that are found in Romans chapter 11. And Romans chapter 11 is the same as Revelation chapter 14. The only difference is this. In Romans chapter 11, you have the first fruit, Israel, now. And in Revelation chapter 14, you have Israel, the first fruit, then, in the time of the tribulation. Can you follow that? You say, so, we have Christ spoken of as the first fruit, yes, and you have his followers spoken of as the first fruit, yes. And among his followers, you have the whole church in James, and in Romans and Corinthians, you have individuals and their household. Correct. And then you also have a particular group of people from a nation, the nation of Israel. And that is found in Romans 11 and in Revelation chapter 14. And so you say, well, that's a remarkable thing. Well, see if some brother could possibly think of one other scripture that I haven't told you about that speaks of first fruits. You'll find that in Romans chapter 8. We are they that have the first fruit of what? The Spirit. And so the Spirit also is spoken of in similar words. The first fruit of the Spirit. Now, had we had abundance of time, I would have read other scriptures, but the only thing I'm going to do now is to show you the way the first fruits are looked at in God's Word, first of all. First of all, the first fruits are simply an acknowledgement by his people, individually and nationally, of the goodness and bounty of God. And they give back unto God, first of all, to him who gave unto them. That must be grasped. So many people overlook the practical significance of these institutions and these festivities that God lays out for us in the Old Testament. To the Jew, it meant this, that God blessed him. His fields produced food, and he takes of that food that God had given him in his field. And he gives the first of it to God, the first fruit. You'll find the finest example of it, and in detail, in Deuteronomy chapter 26. And having said that, without turning to the verses, I just bring this to your attention. By looking at what God expects, when he speaks about the first fruit, he says, you have to bring me the best, and you have to bring me the first. The very first and the very best. The first of your first fruits. Now, if you think of that, and your mind goes to Genesis chapter 4, it solves and explains why God refused the offering that Cain brought unto God. It specifically says that Abel brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. It said that Cain just brought God something that came out of the ground. But God said, that is not what you're to bring to me. What you're to do is to bring me the best that comes out of the ground, and you're to bring me the first fruits of that which comes out of the ground. God isn't interested in your going and just taking something that has grown out of the ground and giving to him. He says you have to bring me the best, and you have to bring me the first of the first fruits. But Cain did not do that. But Abel did do that. He brought God the firstling of his flock, as God required later on under the law. And all of this was in the heart of God all along. He revealed it later through Moses to the children of Israel. He said, I want the first and I want the best. And that's what Abel brought to God, the first and the best. And God had respect unto Abel's offering. Cain brought God something and said, here is something for you. And God said, it isn't the first of your first fruits, and it isn't the best. And God had no respect for Cain and his offering. I bring that to our attention because so often we think that if of the material blessings God has given us, we just give God something, he should be overjoyed with it. After all, I didn't keep it myself. I gave you something. God says, I'm not interested in something. I'm only interested in the first and in the best of everything that you get. You say, isn't that rather selfish? To you it would be, for me it would be, but not for God. What does the word God mean? You say, God? Yes. And so being God, he must have first and he must have best. And that's what he demands. And if you give anything less, it is imperfect and God has not respect unto it. He goes into detail about that in the book of Malachi. And there are so many Christians today who give God little or nothing, or give God something and expect him to be delighted with it. Understand that God is never delighted until you give him the first and you give him the best and you honor him as God, not just some other person that you might give something to, another sinner, a fellow of yours. He is God. So that is what you have to do. And in the first fruits, the practical interpretation of it is this. It's the gratitude of the heart of the child of Israel who, in the promised land, which God told him he would bring them into, we've been considering that in the book of Exodus, Moses praying, and God said, I will give you rest now. And Israelite, in that land of rest, having planted his crop, the crop has brought forth fruit, and he has taken the first, he has taken the best, and he's put it in a basket, and he has brought it and placed it before God, and he confesses that everything that God has promised, God has fulfilled. That's the first meaning. That is the primary meaning. But from the practical, then you go to the typical. And when you do that, and in the New Testament illumination of the Old, you understand that the first fruit that came forth was typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first fruits of them that slept. And not only so, but the first fruits in Leviticus chapter 23, in the third month on the fifth day, you will find that that is a picture of the people of God that were the firstborn of those that were taken from among men that came into existence as a church on the day of Pentecost. Remember these two dates. You have the first month, the 16th day, and you have the third month, the fifth day. The first month and the 16th day was the day of Christ's resurrection. The first fruits of them that sleep. But the day of Pentecost was the third month and the fifth day, and that is the first fruits of them that were dead in trespasses and in sin. The birthday of the church, Pentecost, and the birthday of Jesus Christ as being raised from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, And God is telling us both of these things typically in the Old Testament. Now, here is what is so precious. Inasmuch as God gave us a picture of the first fruits in the Old Testament, and the first fruit that was illustrated in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament by Christ, think now. Here is the corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. But having died, it brought forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus, the first fruit of them that slept. But the corn of wheat having fallen into the ground and died, it brought forth much fruit. Christ the first fruit. And then they that are Christ at his coming. And so for that reason, in the growth of the earth, we have both Christ pictured, raised from the dead, and we have his people pictured as those that are raised from spiritual death, and they're made, listen, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And so they are the first of God's new creation. Christ is the firstborn of the dead, and they are the firstborn of God's new creation. And he sets them both before us. One other truth he gives us. It's this. He gives us the truth of the nation of Israel. It's a month study or more to take up Romans 9, 10, and 11. But in Romans chapter 11, speaking of the nation of Israel, it says, if the first fruit is holy, so also is the lump. Here is the first fruit of Israel, beginning with Abraham, the promises of God to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and then Jacob's descendants. And here is the nation of Israel. And in Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul could only point to one here and there. He said, I am an Israelite. So the promises that God made specifically to the nation of Israel, they are being fulfilled. And if the first fruit in Abraham and his descendants is holy, so also is the lump. And so here is Abraham, and as was Abraham, so is Paul and the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was in Paul's day. But in the coming day, you'll find that there are 144,000 out of every tribe of Israel, and it says, these are the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Now, the reason that I know that the promises of God are going to be fulfilled is this. Christ, the first fruits of them that slept, did Christ come on the scene? Did he fall into the earth and die and come forth the first fruit of them that slept? You said yes. But if God could fulfill that promise, then he can fulfill any promise. And if in the past we have seen God miraculously fulfill his promise in Christ and in his church, so in the future, though it seems impossible, God again shall bring forth life from the dead, and concerning that remnant of Israel, he will bring forth them the first fruits unto Christ and unto the Lamb. And so out of that great tribulation, a time of death shall come forth life. And so we have ever so many references to the first fruits. All right. Let's think of Christ as the first fruits of them that slept. Whenever you have this, it is depicted, first of all, his life on earth. It is not that God sent his Son from heaven, and he had no earthly existence. He simply came from heaven, immediately went to the cross of Calvary, and died. The Bible does not teach that. But the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven and lived for some 30 years on the earth, and then he went to the cross and died. And for that reason, you have in Leviticus chapter 2, the life of Christ, until you come to the latter part of Leviticus chapter 2, and then you have the death and resurrection of Christ. That's what's so important. In the meal offering, the first part of Leviticus 2, you have the meal, and you have the oil, and you have the frankincense, and this is Christ in his life on earth. But that life on earth ended on the cross of Calvary and he died. That is why in the latter part of Leviticus chapter 2, you have the first fruits. And in the first fruits, you have grain in the ear with oil and frankincense. As Christ was in life, so in resurrection life, so is Christ. Now, this distinction is most important. In Leviticus chapter 2, you have the individual offering, first fruit. But in Leviticus chapter 23, you have the nation offering, first fruits. It means this, that if I as an individual bring a meal offering and bring the first fruits offering, it means, typically speaking, that I as an individual comprehend the meaning of the spotless, perfect life of Christ and his death and his resurrection from the dead. And that is what is pictured in Leviticus chapter 2, the first part. But the latter part is the individual seeing Christ raised from the dead. Not only Christ's death, but Christ's resurrection from the dead. But in Leviticus chapter 23, it is not the individual, but it is the nation that offers Christ as the first fruits. Here, on the day of the Passover, and then the first fruits, and then the 16th day, you have the first fruits offered, the nation. And in the coming day, the nation of Israel shall comprehend about Christ being the first fruits nationally. Individually, we have them, yes, one here, one there. But in the coming day, the nation of Israel as a whole is going to have the spirit of grace and supplication poured upon them, and they shall look on him whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And then, that is the nation offering the first fruits, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, as the nation, you'll find also on that third month and the fifth day, you'll find two wave loaves being offered unto God, which depicts ourselves. We are the first fruits, the people of God, the Jew and Gentile, made one and both offered unto God. Notice, the two wave loaves that have leaven in them, they are not burnt upon the altar. They are simply offered unto God because they have leaven in them. But ever so many sacrificial victims are offered upon the altar, and it means that we, though we have sin in us, are accepted in virtue of those sacrificial offerings that are offered upon the brazen altar, and all of this occurs in the third month on the fifth day. So this is a little introduction and a little explanation about the first fruits, the practical, the typical, the individual, and the national. Christ the first fruits, and we a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we marvel that you could picture in animals and in grain and in grapes and in olives all of these things depicting the person of Christ and the people of Christ. We are thankful for all of these things that you foretold that have been fulfilled. That gives us encouragement. Lord, a corn of wheat has fallen into the ground and died, and has been raised from the dead. Therefore, Father, you have told us that Christ, the first fruits, raised from the dead. Then we that are Christ at his coming. That gives us hope. Lord, we've never seen anyone raised from the dead, but we have believed that Christ died and rose again. And our Father, Christ having died and been raised from the dead, he is able to descend from heaven with a shout, and raise us from the dead. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. And so we thank you for all of these blessings, and even now we have the first fruits of the Spirit in our heart. So make these things real to us, and let us enter into these truths and enjoy them to the full. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.